Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, music director at Casey Cafe Radio. We're very happy to have well-known comedian, actress, songwriter, and singer Judy Nasmetz as an artist on Casey Cafe Radio. As an actress and comedian, she's appeared on The Tonight Show for over 100 times, as well as other well-known television shows like Will and Grace and Ellen. She also has a very impressive resume in both film and theater. Judy's first album, Variety Pack, was a huge success, and her recent album, Balancing Act, is proven to be even more successful, filled with songs that go from funny to sublime, from silly to serious. Thanks so much, Judy, for taking the time to talk with me here on Casey Cafe Radio.
Well, you're welcome, Kathy, and it's good to talk to you, too.
It's always nice to hear your voice and get to talk with you again. I always have a good time talking with you.
I'm so glad. I remember part of you from a couple of years ago at Far West.
Mm-hmm.
I just came across that picture, and it's like we were dressed alike. We both had our glasses and our flannel shirts on.
Yep, and we had the same shoes on, too.
Gabbing away. That's right. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you I'm in my pajamas.
I'm not in my pajamas, but I am in my sweats, so.
Okay. All right, and I got my cool sneakers on.
Well, I wanted to start off asking you a serious question. What do you consider your first love?
Okay.
Comedy, music, or acting?
My first love is combining all three. I really can't, and which is why I named the album Balancing Act, because when I do something, it's usually a combination of singing, comedy, and acting, or singing and comedy and acting and comedy. It's interesting because when I do things, I usually love to make the audience laugh, and then I like to hit them so they cry. Mm. Isn't that sad? Oh, what does that say about me? But I don't know if I can put anyone first, because it's whatever I'm doing at the moment. And when I was actually finishing up the songs for the album, I had no title. And I was even wondering if I should put the three more serious songs on the album, considering people know that I do comedy. And my husband said, well, put them on. Go ahead, put them on. It's you. You do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I do. So I decided to put it on there, and that's when the name Balancing Act came to me, because it's a balance of all the stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I don't think I can say that I have a first love over the other two.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you do
combination of everything.
You do all very well. So.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank my agent. I'd like to thank my teacher. Sorry, sorry, I get a little carried away with the Oscars.
Yeah. So there's three really serious songs on the album, and I was wondering what inspired you to write something a little bit more serious and not comedic this time?
Well, I think you're talking about a song for Mary and Altars and Behind That Locked Door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Song for Mary I wrote for my mom, Mary. And I actually started that song on an airplane ride back to New Jersey, what to call it. She was in the hospital, not expected to survive. So it's like, I don't even know how I got on that plane, you know. And they made me a special seat. I could look out the window, and nobody bothered me. And I just took out my pad, and I started writing. It took me about 10 years to finish it because, you know, there's just a lot of emotion, and I didn't really know how to end it or how to make it work. So I figured there's that song. The Behind That Locked Door was really interesting because at Far West, when I saw you a couple of years ago, there's a little contest or challenge that's called See Here Now, or Now See Here, Now See Here. And what you do is you pick a photograph from a board and you say, okay, I'm going to write a song about that photograph or what it inspires in me. So I picked this photograph of this wooden door on this wooden structure somewhere. And it just evoked in me the fact that there are people behind that door who are closed off to anybody who's different from themselves. And the chorus in that, you got to get out more, came to me actually from my mom. Because whenever I'd visit her and I would do something that was plainly everybody else in the world did, but she never saw it. She never realized that people said these things or acted like this. And she'd go, oh, you're so California. Oh, I've never seen anybody else do that. I'm like, what I used to say is, Ma, you got to get out more. Really. You really do. I mean, there are people who live like this, who eat like this, who whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever I was doing that she thought, what? I never brought you up to do that. I never brought you up to say that. I said, well, Maya, you got to get out. And so that's why that's there. And so that's one of my semi-political statements there in that song. And then the third one, Alters. Some time ago, some years ago, I went as a guest of a girlfriend I've known since kindergarten, and she said, can you come with me to Cancun? I'm like, okay, I'll be there next week. Okay, I got nothing going on. Let's go. So we happened to be there during the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. And it so affected me. I absolutely loved the way that they remember their dead and honor their dead. And they erect altars out in front of their homes and places of business. And they put things on the altars that represent the person who died. Pictures and candles and flowers. And, oh, it's just remarkable. And I thought, I wish we had that where we are. You know, I just think it was absolutely glorious. And then as I was doing one of my bike rides, I realized that we have that, but it's not called that. They're called the memorials on the side of the road for when cars kill people. And so I had to write that song because one day I just saw so many of these things on the side of the road, it just made me sick. So that's why I call that song Altars. And so that's my statement about people who can't drive. Yeah, that's pretty serious to be put on a comedy album, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's okay.
But I couldn't help it. You know, I tried, and I tried to do it a certain way. The first thing that occurred to me, because there were a few children who were run over in a horrific pedestrian thing, and I tried to do it with the background of a kid's piano. And in my head, it worked. And after we did it in the studio, it didn't work. I couldn't get it to work the way I wanted it to, even though I loved the piano. And for some reason, it just didn't come together. So we decided to do it just Chad Watson playing guitar. That one took a while to get right. But yeah, that's the story of my serious stuff.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. I like that one a lot, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I think the serious ones take a lot longer for me to get right. So I can give a punchline, or I can get a joke right away. But the other ones, it takes me a long time.
So yeah. Would you say, I know this is the question they always ask actors is, you know, which is easier, comedy or drama? So which do you think is harder then?
Ooh. In acting, comedy is harder. In singing, drama is harder. For me, in singing, I can always get the joke out, and I can always, you know, get a reaction I want. In drama, I really, in a serious song, I really have to focus, and I have to reach down into a place so that the listener can feel something. You know, I need to evoke an emotion, not just crazy laughter.
So
I guess it's the opposite for me. I mean, in acting, comedy is definitely harder. Because you need the timing and this and that. And I've got that in the songs, I think. But in singing, I think, I really do think. For writing anyway. For writing serious songs, I think it's harder.
I would think comedy would be a harder thing to... Because not everything is funny to, you know, everybody, you know? Where death is sort of a universal kind of sadness, you know? But not everything makes everybody laugh, so... So, yeah.
That's true, but my gauge is what makes me laugh. I know I'm very selfish that way, but it has to work like that. And I really laugh at a lot of stuff. I mean, I even laugh at what people normally don't laugh at. I mean, there were a few times during my mom's funeral that I just cracked jokes and it was really kind of funny. She would have laughed. Yeah, comedy and singing, it's a lot easier for me to write comedy when I sing.
Yeah. So do you think you got your sense of humor from your mother then, or where do you think it came from?
Well, that's interesting. Probably. She loved to laugh at a lot of different things, but never really made any jokes. It wasn't like you came home and everything was funny. Although I did get my singing from my mother. That was interesting because she was from the Slovak side of the family, and everybody sang. She and my Aunt Annie sang all the time. Even my grandma, who was born in Czechoslovakia, she would sing the Slovak national anthem in Slovak. You know, I had no idea what she was saying, but it's like, there she goes again, singing that. And she just sang out, no vibrato, just sang that thing. And I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. So I think that, I don't know where my sense, you know what? I think maybe my sense of humor came from my Aunt Annie because, I mean, we weren't that close, but the last couple of times I visited her, she was darn funny. Mm. I mean, she was really funny. And I sat there and I thought, my God, you are funny. And I thought, maybe I did get it. Maybe it went through that, DNA from her. So it's interesting. But singing wise, I mean, those Slovaks really sing. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you. They just go for it. They don't. If they just sing right out.
Yeah.
Not so on my father's side. No, no. Matter of fact, one time, here we go. No wonder my Aunt Annie is, I just thought of this. Years and years and years ago, I did a divorce court.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And I was this crazy woman who, I guess my husband was divorcing me. I can't even remember, but it was really great. And it was an over-the-top character, and it was really funny, and this and that. And I was so proud of it. And I showed it to my Auntie Annie, and she laughed. She got every joke. She laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Then I showed it to my uncle on my father's side. Not one laugh. He didn't get any jokes. He just stood there like, I can't believe you do this, Judy. It's like, I can't believe it. And I thought, ew, he has no sense of humor. I didn't know that. So I guess, yeah, I guess I do get the comedy from my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
the singing too, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think you got from your father's side then?
I have no idea. I really don't. Look, my father was very practical and he was a very hard worker, so I really got that from him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you got then, your work ethic maybe.
It's true, and he always said, and maybe I got my strength of character from him because he always said, now my father was a baker from the time he was 13. He quit school so he could help with the family, and he was a baker.
Mm-hmm.
And he always said to me, Jude, I have three words of advice for you. I'm like, well, what's that, Pop? He goes, never give notice. And it's worked for me. It's like, if I feel something's not right, if I'm not happy doing something, I just leave.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, I get out. Well, getting's good, so I don't regret staying in an unhappy, whatever, job, relationship, something like that. I'm like, so I got that from him.
Have you ever written a song for your dad? Since you've written a song for your mom, have you written one for
him? I haven't, but maybe I should. Never give notice. Hmm.
That would be a good. That could be a good comedy song.
Okay, maybe I will. I just wrote that down. You have inspired me.
There you go. See, that's what these interviews are for—is to inspire. Not only the listener, but also the person I'm interviewing.
I do have to tell you that my singing, though, from the Slovak side. I mean, I remember when I was really little, we had a swing set outside, and I would just swing all day, singing at the top of my lungs. I'd just make up songs.
Mm-hmm.
La la. I don't even, who can remember what I sang? But my mother, talk about a work ethic, made my sister and me always do the dishes at night. My sister would wash, I would dry. But my sister, who was 4 years older than I, she taught me the entire fourth grade songbook, and with harmony and everything. And we would sing those songs while we were doing the dishes. And in the summertime, when all the windows were open and stuff, all the neighbors would hear the Nazmuts girls singing with the harmony and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, thank you, Margie. Mm-hmm. She got me to do it. As a matter of fact, about 10 years ago or so, after my mom died, I went into a studio and I recorded all of my parts for those songs. And I put it on a CD so she could play it in her car and sing the harmony.
Oh, nice. So is she in show business too, or is she?
No. She has nothing to do with show business. And she just told me, she says, I don't think I can sing anymore. She teaches nursing in Rhode Island. So, yeah. Yeah. So she has nothing to do with the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
But she likes it. She loves it. Yeah.
Are you the only one in your family who went into show business shows?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, they had no idea. When I first moved out to California, my parents had absolutely no idea what I did or what I do. They had absolutely no idea. And even when I lived in New York and I was, you know, doing commercials and things like that, and I would, every once in a while, my mom would see me on some. She goes, well, that's good, but, you know, when are you going to be able to say a line? Because I did a lot of MOS, mm-hmm. you know, without sound. I said, Ma, I get paid the same as somebody who has a line. And she goes, what, you do? And then we moved out here, and she really had no idea what was going on. She's like, well, I don't know what she does, but, you know, she would never use the term actress until she saw me on The Tonight Show.
Mm.
So that was when I had already been in show business for many years.
Right.
Says, oh, that's what she does. That's what she does. So anyway. Yeah. But
So did you go into it with the thought of being a comedian, or was it just you just wanted to act?
It all kind of fell into place because I just was able to book a lot of comedy stuff. So I'm like, I think I got this thing. I mean, I didn't really know I was funny or able to do comedy. I think I was in college, and I was the first time I delivered punchlines and was funny, and I didn't know I was even delivering punchlines. Was when I sat on the union board. You know, we're the ones that ran the student union,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go to the meetings, and it was all so dull. You know, they needed somebody to handle the suggestion box. So I said, I'll do the report on the suggestion box. And then I was a little miffed at why my report was left to the very end of every meeting until I realized that it was like joke time. And I did 5 minutes of stand-up about mm-hmm. the suggestion box. And people everybody stayed and they couldn't wait for the report. And everybody laughed. And I thought, wait a minute, this is good. This is good.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to New York, I just started auditioning for things like sketch comedy shows and musical reviews with a lot of comedy,
mm-hmm.
and realized that I really enjoyed that and I was good at it. You just reminded me of this gig that I did. This bunch of songwriters in New York were going to put on a show, going to put on a review of all their songs that they've written. So there was a cast of maybe six of us, and we each had our solos, and then we took part in the other people's songs, and we rehearsed in Carnegie Hall in the offices where somebody mm-hmm. had, you know, an office writing music. What was that?
Yeah.
And then we put the show on, and we did a few performances, and I'll never forget this one because I had this huge song, this huge solo. And it was three incredibly long verses of a patter song. Do you know what a patter song is?
I have no idea.
It's got a million words, and it goes real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And everything rhymes, and it's funny, and people just roar, and da-da-da-da-da, and it goes on, and you think it'll never end, and it's funny, and then it finally ends, and it's just terrific. If you've ever seen the musical Company, it's a song like I'm Never Getting Married.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you can relate to that. So I did the song. I never messed the song up. I did it perfectly all through rehearsal and through a couple of shows. Then in the last show, when all the composers were there and the writers were there and a huge crowd, I went up on my lines, I think in the second verse. You know, I have all the cast behind me doing choreography. And what I did was I just made up the words and I made up new jokes and I rhymed everything and I finished the song. And people were on their feet. Yay, it's fantastic. And the writer came up to me afterwards and said, I really love what you did with my song. Like, well, I'm sorry, but I just, So then I thought, wait, I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do this. So that was, maybe it was just lucky. But after that, I went into improvisation where you do comedy from suggestions from the audience.
Right.
So that's mm-hmm. the kind of thing that I can do.
Mm-hmm. And is that when you met Fred Willard, or was that later on?
Yeah, well, I did that in New York for like 6 years, and I taught improv. I created an improv curriculum at what is now a college of drama. Then we moved out here, and I joined up with an improv group here. And then there was this theater that was doing a Friday night improv jam, which means that you don't even know who you're going to perform with. These people just come. And mm-hmm. these improvisers from all the groups here. And Fred was the host. And that's when I met Fred. And we've been doing comedy together ever since. Shortly after that particular gig ended, he had called me to see if I would be a part of his one-man show with a cast of 12. And someone actually got ill during the run, and I had to go in 2 days. So I learned all the stuff and went in, and the rest is history. And we did the Aspen Comedy Festival together and a San Francisco Sketch Fest Festival. And yeah, I've worked with him a lot. He's wonderful to perform with and learn from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's terrific.
He's a very busy guy, too.
He is a very busy guy. And you know what I like about him? He likes what I do. And that's why he wrote his little thing on my album cover. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. And he loves to laugh. And that's the best thing is to be up there and actually and do your thing. And he's actually really laughing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yes, yes, I know it's working. And Fred likes it. Yay.
Then you know you're doing it right. So do you approach writing comedy and songwriting the same way?
Well, you know, I think I actually approach each one of them from an improv standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I have to get back into that head because I'm inspired by something. I'm inspired by one thing, and I write all around it or about it. I either start with it or I end with it. It's as if somebody from the audience shouted out to me, clothesline, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I would just completely go crazy and write it and not edit myself and see what comes out. Of course, with improv, you're not writing anything down. So this approach, you know, I really had to kind of train myself to actually write something. Write it down mm-hmm. quickly. Good thing I can type fast, I got to tell you that. So it's actually, for me, it's a similar process. It all comes from that improv where the worst thing you can do is edit yourself. Mm-hmm. And the best thing you can do is just keep writing, keep throwing mm-hmm. things out. And I think, it's, you know, so far it's worked, mm-hmm. you know? It's worked for me.
Do you try to write every day, or is it something that you just do when you feel the the muse?
It depends. I wish I could write every day, but it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I actually called myself a writer, even though I've written, because writers to me write every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do other things. I do lots of things like you do. You know, I've got mom duties. I've got friend duties. I've got this. I've got comedy. I've got acting gigs and this and that. So, you know, I have a whole notebook of ideas. I actually have stuff that I've had in my notebooks for a couple of years that I was inspired to write a couple of pages on as far as the songs go, mm-hmm. even a couple of years ago. And I just haven't figured out how to make them work. One day I'll just sit down with a page and say, you know what, I think it's time now. I think I know how to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't write every day. I know I should, you know, because everybody says you should.
Yeah. But finding the time to write every day is just impossible for me.
I think so. And, well, you're busy too, so.
Like, the last few things that I've written have been co-writes. And, you know, I've done a lot of co-writing in the last few years because I find it easier sometimes to co-write because, I don't have to think of, you know, the rhymes and all that kind of thing. It's already there. And for some reason, sometimes music is easier for me to come up with than words at certain times. So,
well, that's good that you can find somebody that you can work with.
Mm-hmm. Do you co-write as well, or is that?
I have not co-written. I have not. I'm actually trying to write something with my daughter, and she's into electronic music. There's that challenge again that from the last Far West that I didn't go to, but I was approached and sent a picture that was like rejected by every single person who took the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sitting with it for a year. I actually have something halfway done, but I asked my daughter Cora if she would like to come in on it with me as far as the music goes, because it's not a normal, it's not a folk song, but it fits the picture that we were given. So it's like, we're trying to work on that, and we get along very well, but she does all different kinds of stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I think I could actually say yes to that. One of the tenets of improv, you know, is saying yes and, right? Did you, have you ever heard that?
I've heard that, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's like, okay, this is interesting music or sound, and I'm going to yes and it, and I'll provide the words and stuff and my input, and we'll see what comes out. Mm-hmm. So we're at that point, and I'd like to, I would really like to get it done for this year's Far West.
That would be cool.
I mean, it will really be different, mm-hmm. but I think it's time for something different.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. You let me know when you hear it.
That'd really add to your variety, you know?
it certainly will.
I'll do one more.
Something different.
One more in your variety pack.
That's true. Oh, and speaking of that, did you happen to see that Weird Al has a polka?
Yeah, I saw the Hamilton polka, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, well, I was before my time because that's my polka on the variety pack.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very cool, yeah.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very happy that polka's coming back.
And there's like the Jack Black film on Netflix. Did you see that about the polka guy?
I did not see it. I've got to check that out.
Yeah. That one's interesting, too. When you write, do you have the music in mind already?
No. Usually, I have the words first. Mm-hmm. Usually, I have the words first. Let's see. Let me look on my list here. No, I usually have the words first. Mm-hmm. And then I think of a genre. It's weird, because coming from my background, I always think of a genre. Mm-hmm. It's like, what genre would fit this? What genre feels right? And so I have the genre, and then I can figure out the melody.
Is it kind of like the way the words kind of, pentameter of the words kind of work, you think, is what kind of drives where the music goes to?
That's true. I'm thinking of like my song Three Sticks of Butter, which is unusual, but that actually came from a story, my friends, who are named in the song. We were over at their house, and they told that story like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, this is a great story. I love the story. Mm-hmm. How can I make it work? With names like Athleen and Amy. It's like, this sounds like sort of the semi-Irish kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. I wrote that out like in a day. And I'm like, I want to do this as a sort of an Irish thing. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's sort of an Irish thing, you know. Mm-hmm. What can I tell you? but yeah, I think for me the words came first and everything.
So are you writing more these days, or are you doing more acting and comedy right now?
I think I'm writing more right now. Mm-hmm. I think I'm writing more. I mean, no, I'm saying I'm writing more music now, but last week I wrote 2 comedy sketches mm-hmm. that we'll probably put up in a show in a month or so. So I just kind of, whatever comes out that day, I write down whatever comes out. Here's another thing. I was actually hired as a dancer.
Really?
Now, come on, that's variety.
you're a quadruple threat there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yes. And I am still playing basketball, by the way.
I was going to ask you about if you're going to be joining the WNBA anytime soon, but...
WNBA?
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that a couple of weeks ago, I actually broke part of my finger.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't really my fault. I'm going to blame it on my friend Jane, because she said, you can blame it on me, because she jammed my finger with the ball. And I was in pain. But anyway, so it's slightly broken, and I have a cast on it. And anyway, I played last week with my hand all bandaged, and I had a better game than I've had in years. So I'm thinking it's brought me luck. I'm going to stick with it, yeah.
So you'll have to break it every few weeks now. So
That's right. As a matter of fact, I had an audition, an on-camera audition 2 days ago, and of course I've got this cast on. But the audition was for a nurse in an insane asylum, so I not only bandaged those fingers, I bandaged the fingers on my right hand. I figure it's just, you know, what can I tell you? It's part of the job.
Yeah, there you go. The bandages, it worked for the character.
I'm still playing, yes. I'm still playing.
Cool. When you do comedy, do you think there's any topics that you should stay away from when you do comedy?
Now, that's interesting, because I just saw the Gilbert Gottfried movie last night. Have you seen that one yet?
Mm-mm.
Do you know Gilbert?
Oh yeah, uh-huh. I like
him. Yeah. He's fantastic. And he started out in his career by doing a real clean act, and now it's really filthy and it's funny. I mean, because he's outrageous. So, I don't know how to answer that yet because I do write for a character that I do, and there are some things. I mean, I just wrote the monologue for our Christmas show, and I know I didn't veer into a place where I'd be wondering if I'd hurt somebody if I said something. But the thing is, I really do attempt to find comedy in every situation, even if it's just horrific. I have to. That's where I come from. Except, of course, I wrote Alters, so where are you going to find the comedy there? But that's a whole other thing, so I guess we'll have to see. Okay. I would hope that people think that the same things I think are funny are funny. I mean, when I first started years ago in New York and I was doing a monologue with this character that I still do, and people were just laughing and standing up and applauding, and oh, it was just fantastic. And then after the show ended, this woman stayed around, and I thought, okay, what's up? So she came up to me and she goes, you know, I really love your character and this and that. She says, but I don't think you should. And then she told me the joke that she thought she was offended by. And I paused and I just said, well, thank you very much for your opinion, but I think it's funny. And thank you. And if you don't like it, then just please leave. And really, you know, that's it. Thanks for coming tonight, but this is what I do. And so she left, and but nobody else was offended by it. So it's like, whew, I guess if you're going to be sensitive about that, then maybe you shouldn't be doing comedy.
Right. Yeah. You can't be worried about what other people think, and you can only stay true to yourself, I think.
Right. And again, we go back to improv. It's like, I don't want to edit myself. I really don't. I mean, I do that in life when I want to make sure that I don't hurt anybody's feelings, really. But when I'm on stage, there's probably a reason I'm doing something like that. And right. I want to make a point, okay? I do want to make a point.
Do you think there are any topics, like, especially right now with our politics and how divisive it is?
Oh, I think everything should be made fun of right now.
Okay.
I really do.
There's a lot to make fun of.
I really do. Well, one of the sketches I did last week had teachers with guns. And it was hysterical. So, I mean, if you know, hopefully we'll do that in a sketch show next month, and people will just understand how ludicrous the entire concept is.
Right.
But that's my politics, but I think it is ludicrous. And if I can do something funny to make people understand, then great.
Yeah. I think the majority of people think the same thing. It's just that we have leaders in certain positions who don't see it as being ludicrous, and that's where the problem lies, I guess.
Oh, another song possibility. Let me write that down. Okay. Although I do mention that, not that exact topic, but I do mention guns in Behind That Locked Door. So, yeah, there you go.
I was wondering, is there ever a part that you've turned down that you've been offered? Do you just look at it and you go, I can't do that?
You know, once there was, a few years ago, I actually accepted a part and then I backed out. It was like, it wasn't a nude thing, but I would have to be like putting on my bra after some one night stand thing in a movie. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not comfortable with that. It's different if I'm doing comedy or something, or, you know, I'm in a play and the part, whatever. That's different. But on screen, that's not me. I can't do that. It's just not me, really.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that, really. Come on.
For me, that's what I would say. Nobody wants to see that.
Right. No. I don't think that I'm the one for that. Yeah, yeah. So I did. But mostly everything else, I just say, yeah, let me do it.
Yep.
You know, and I've even done a few, helped out in some student, like grad level thesis films in the past couple of years. And these are things that are just, you know, for the students to help them graduate and get work afterwards. And I've done some film stuff with them. And I love it. I just love the experience of not only doing it, but helping them get where they need to go.
Of all the shows you've worked on and things, which ones would you say are your favorites?
Well, definitely The Tonight Show, because that was, you know, they would call me in the middle of the day, comedy emergency. We just wrote a bit. We need you. And mm-hmm. I would go there, and it's either a pre-tape and you'd have one rehearsal and then you just do it. You didn't have time to do it twice. Mm-hmm. Or it was live on the show. And I love that. The shock effect of maybe coming from the audience and actually going on stage or having something happen to me. It's just great. I love it. I love that instant comedy. Love mm-hmm. it. Nothing can top that. And theater-wise, I love all the musicals I've ever done. It's just great. Mm-hmm. And I would say for a drama, with a lot of comedy, I don't know if you've ever seen The Beauty Queen of Lennon. It's an Irish play written by Martin McDonagh, who wrote Three Billboards.
Okay.
And his plays are so dark and so funny and really dark and usually very dangerous. And that's what this was. And it was a challenge for me to learn the dialect, the accent, and but I got the comedy in mm-hmm. before everybody cringed. And, you know, that's great. Going back a few years, I did the pre-Broadway readings, and that means you're doing the entire script with music of a new musical, of a musical that went on Broadway a couple of years ago, but I worked on it with the creative team for a few years. And I worked with Mike Stoller of Lieber mm-hmm. and Stoller, and that was glorious. I mean, mm-hmm. that was just glorious, the opportunity to, again, what I do, I can make them laugh, and a second later, I'll have them crying. Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, I love it.
Is there anything you still haven't done that you'd like to do in your career?
Anything new. Anything new. I'll do anything new. Anything. Mm-hmm. Give me a new play. A new anything that someone's written. I will do it. I will do it. Yeah, there's lots that I haven't done. I mean, a lot of my friends from New Jersey, I mean, some of them are retired. They've taught for, you know, 30 years or whatever. And they say, Judy, when are you going to retire? I'm like, retire? Retire? I want to outlive my competition.
Yeah.
So, no, I just want to work. I mm-hmm. love it so much. I do.
Yeah, I don't think actors ever retire, do they? They just stop at some point.
I don't know. You have to ask Daniel Day-Lewis, because, right?
Well, I guess, he supposedly, you know. But
yeah, until he comes back again.
Right. It's just like, you know, the farewell tours that all the bands do. It's like Shearer's had like 7 farewell tours now, so.
Right. And I haven't seen her latest, but I have friends who have, and they say it's just phenomenal. So, I mean, mm-hmm. come on. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll do a farewell tour.
And just keep doing it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Thanks.
Yeah, that way people will come and see you thinking, oh, this is her last one. And then,
right, got to see this one. Yeah. Yeah.
This is really the farewell tour.
That's right.
Have you ever written...
Inspired me. I got to get to work.
Have you ever written something for someone else to do?
Not really. Yes. Well, see, yes and no, because in my sketch work, I wrote a 2-woman sketch that later I did it in a show of mine, and I was one of the women. And then the other woman's part got taken by a guy. But when I saw that on stage, and I wasn't in it for this particular production, I said these other 2 ladies could do it. Oh, it was just phenomenal. And I was on the sidelines watching it, and I was just tickled. I mean, it just, everything worked. They were wonderful in it. They had a good time. The audience loved it. Like, I really love that. Mm-hmm. And I have written a play. It's actually about my family, my mom, and her relatives, but it needs a rewrite, but I would like to actually get that up someday. And yes, there's actually a part for me, but I think by the time it gets up, I'll probably have to play my mom. You know, it takes a while. But anyway, yeah. So that does involve other actors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoy actually writing for others, because it just gives them a great opportunity to say my jokes.
That's probably going to be a thrill to hear other people... You know, your words come out of somebody else's mouth, too.
It actually is. It really is.
Yeah.
Although I haven't, now I haven't heard anybody else do my songs. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. But no one's asked me.
Okay, I don't think they could do them justice. I mean, that's probably the reason right there. I mean,
oh man, I don't know.
I mean, because it's, you know, it's got to be filled with your style and your comedy. I mean, that's what I think kind of drives those songs. So.
Oh my gosh, did you see? I got a note from somebody in Ireland. They played PTA Mom the other day in Ireland, in Dublin. I'm like, do you have PTAs in Dublin?
They must have some kind of equivalent to it, I guess.
I know. And in Macedonia a couple of days ago, Macedonia, I had to look that up to see exactly where it is nowadays. They played Miami Underwater. And I thought, wow, they know about Miami Underwater? How did that come up? So, I don't know. It's interesting. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, to hear all this.
Yeah, it's really cool when you look and see where your songs are being played, you know, like all over the world, you know.
Yeah.
And
right.
They're appreciating
I'm just very thankful.
You just mentioned a couple of songs on the CD. The one that I relate to a lot is He Said My Name Right. Did that song come from a personal experience?
Oh, please. Anybody who sees my name with two Z's, they get very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And they stumble and they have no idea how to pronounce it. And the same thing happened to my mom with her name, which had one Z, but started out with a D, DZ. And she would always tell me that in her classrooms, they would say, then let's welcome Miss So-and-so, Mr. Smith, Miss So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, and Mary. And I'm like, oh, I wish she were alive to hear this one. Yeah, so it has come from personal experience, although I didn't use my name in it, because mine's too simple for the joke, you know.
Yeah, although people mispronounce, well, my name's, you know, it's only six letters long, but people still say it wrong. You know, they say Forst or Forest or Frosty, or, I mean, and then my son's got it worse because his first name is Nikolai, and it's spelled Nikolay, and they always say Nicolay. Mm-hmm. And so his name is always murdered. It's Nikolai Frosty or something, you know. So he just answers to it. So
I had one of my friends after my release party heard the song. He came up to me and goes, and his last name is four letters, mm-hmm. and it's never pronounced right.
Yeah.
So he related to that. So I was very happy to hear that.
It's
relatable. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And we had a good time with that song. We had a really good time recording that one.
Yeah, that's a fun song. I like that one.
Thank you.
Another one I like is the first track on the CD, The Way Back. What is that song about? Tell people about that song.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I went to school in Rhode Island, and my sorority sisters some of them, the ones that still live there, decided to have a mini reunion a couple of years ago. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. This is going to be cool. I haven't seen them for years and years and years. I have no idea how anybody is, blah, blah, blah. So I went back to Rhode Island, stayed with my friend Carolyn. And one day she took like 6 or 7 or 8 of us around back to the campus, back to where our dorm was. Then she drove us all around Newport and all of the places where all the bars used to be and this and that. And she had this, she called it an SUV, but it just seemed like a van because there were so many rows. And at one point I said, because I was sitting in the third row back. So I said, I'm in the back. And somebody corrected me, said, no, that's the way back. And then after that, I was sitting in the back row, which is the way back. And I'm like, I actually never heard it referred to like that. And I love it. I love the term the way back and the way back. So again, on the plane ride home, I thought, this is really cool. And I'm going to write a song about the way back and the way back. Noting that it means both going back to where you were and in the way back or the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And they do talk like that in Rhode Island. They don't pronounce their R's. If you've ever been there, it's like you're in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great little state, and we had a good time. So that was about my reunion.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really love that.
Do you have a favorite song from either of your albums that you've written?
Oh my gosh! No, I
put you on the spot.
I mean, the F word.
I like that one too.
You like that one too. Mm-hmm. I really like the F word. that came about because actually my voice teacher, she when I would go over there, it would be almost like a therapy session. She talked to me, oh, my plumbing backed up and this, and I couldn't find the guy, and I used the wrong plumber, and then he gave me the bill, and I just couldn't tell him how I really thought. So I just said to her, she said, didn't you just tell him to, you know, use the F word, whatever. She goes, oh, I would never say that. And I said, you never say that? And she goes, no. I'm like, well, you should. You should. You should stand up for yourself and say it once in a while, make you feel better. So that's when I went home and I wrote that. And the thing that I, if we ever do a video, I mean, I'd like to do a video of it, but I'd like it to end with that last verse, with like 100 women on a mountaintop. Singing the four-part harmony.
That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually got inspired because I had gone to see a friend from my high school class a couple of years ago when I went to Las Vegas. She was in a competition with the Sweet Adelines. So I went to see their group perform. And across the hall from them rehearsing was the glee teacher from my daughter's middle school, who, when they were in middle school, she had from grade six, seven, and eight, 3 years, she taught those kids four-part harmony, barbershop harmony. She taught, you know, like 100 kids mm-hmm. barbershop harmony, and just blew everybody away in the assemblies and everything. And I thought, I wonder if she'd like to kind of work on this with me. Mm-hmm. And that's where that final group came in that song. So when we got that together, I was just thrilled. And as a matter of fact, I just saw her last week, and hopefully they'll be singing that. Mm-hmm. So, which will just make me smile a lot.
That'd be very funny, yeah.
But everybody said, they said, well, do you have to name your album, you know? I mean, is it, what do they call it? When it's X, not rated X, or whatever it's called, explicit. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I never say the word.
No, you don't.
I just said F word.
That's why we can play it on Casey Cafe Radio.
So, we had a really good time recording that. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
It sounds like it. So what are you working on now?
I'm going back to my notebooks, and I'm looking at stuff that is half written, and I'm going to pick a song out and finish it and get started. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time to start again and take one of those songs and really make it into something. Because, there, you know, I have songs that I have that recently, you know, I didn't finish, or it didn't work, or recorded it, but it didn't work right. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go back to that. I also am thinking about putting together a one-person show using my stories and music. You don't even know my stories. I have a million of them. And again, I had asked my husband, I said, you know, I don't know if I should just do my stories, or it was kind of weird to all of a sudden put in a song. And he goes, you have to do both. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's who you are.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to, first I'm going to write all these. It's almost like essays, comedic essays about these things that have happened to me. And then I'll look at them and see how a song can come out of a few of them. Mm-hmm. And see what I can do. I'm going to see if I can put up a show. Because, of course, you have to do that. You have to put up a show.
Right. If you're in show business, you got to put up a show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess I'm writing. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll look forward to hearing all the new songs. And, I'd love to see you perform sometime. I mean, I saw a little snippet of it when we were in Far West. But, I mean, and I just love that. You're just
wonderful. Hey, are you going to get to California for the next one?
We're thinking about it. We're not sure if we can make it yet this year. But
okay, all right. Well, you know what? I'm going to be there, okay? Because it's actually not that far from me.
Okay, well, I'll come and stay with you then. And
okay. That's fine.
Yeah. So
I'll start cleaning now.
We'll have to dress alike and all that. So.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Oh, wait. We'll have to do a song together then.
Mm-hmm.
That'd I'll have to fun. Write one. Okay. We dress alike. We talk alike. It's sometimes we even walk alike. What's that on?
It was from the Patty Duke show. Yeah.
Right.
Identical cousins. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Alrighty. Well, it was.
But there is a pleasure being here.
Yeah. It was a pleasure speaking with you again, talking to you again. Real quick, I want to tell people they can find you, your music on CD Baby and iTunes and Amazon, of course. Mm-hmm. And then your website is judynazmetz.com, and that's spelled NAZEMETZ.com.
Now, I have a music website also. That website is my acting
Okay.
And predominantly then my acting work side. So my music website is judynazimetzmusic.com. Okay.
All right. So just add music to that and you'll find that one as well. So
right.
And there's a lot of great stuff on the websites that people can check out as well. So thanks so much for chatting with me today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Me too. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Bye.